Good morning, everybody. This is Brother Miles. It's time for Bible study. I want to apologize for last week. We had to do a replay. We had some technical difficulties on our end, but I think we've got it all worked out now. And so it's good to be back with you. I hope you've been reading. We're in Genesis chapter 20. We're going to begin in verse 17 in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to open with prayer. I hope all is well with you. Hope church is going good, and hope you're getting back to as normal as you can, and still practicing safe procedures and everything, and being safe. And so let's join our hearts and minds together, and let's ask the Lord to be with us today. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for all these dear people that are listening. I pray your blessings upon them. Pray, Lord, for their health and wealth and safe being. Pray for the churches that are pastors will be standing to preach here in just a little while for Sunday schools. And Lord, thank you for being with us, and Lord, for walking with us and guiding us every step of the way. Now, please open your word to us and help us to understand, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, we left off in Genesis chapter 20, around verse 17. You know, Abraham had, Abimelech had found out that Abraham's wife, Sarah, was in fact, he found out that Sarah was Abraham's wife. He told a half truth. She was in fact his half sister, and so God had had warned him about this. And so he of course asked Abraham to leave, and you know, not on a bad note, but because you know God had warned him not to do wrong with Sarah. So in verse 17, we'll begin there and try to make our way, if we can, over to try to get through as far through the chapter as we can. But in verse 17, chapter 20, it says, "So Abraham prayed unto God, and it says, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. Now he had closed up their wombs; they couldn't bear any children because of Sarah. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." So God sent Abimelech a message, and the message was clear, and he got the message. And so, but Abraham prayed for him, and God heard the prayer of Abraham. Chapter 21 now. This is really the chapter that we've been heading to, because this is where, now God's been promising all along. Abraham's 100 years old now, Sarah's 90. And for so many years, God has been assuring Abraham that he and Sarah are going to have a son. He and Sarah, not he and Hagar, he and Sarah. And you know, Abraham went in unto Hagar at Sarah's bequest, and she bare a son, and that Ishmael was born. It's his firstborn son, but not of Sarah. And God wouldn't accept that. Now, he didn't reject Ishmael. He made Ishmael a promise that he would bear children, of course, and be the father of nations, but not the same promise that Abraham had. When God makes a promise, we have to be careful not to try to bring that promise about, but to let God bring it about. The most difficult thing in the world is to wait. It's very hard, especially for me. It's difficult to wait on God, but that's the best time in your life to grow. It's when you're waiting on God and you're counting on God to keep his promise. You know he will. Now, see, when you read your Bible, and I firmly believe this, that if you can find the promise in the Bible that speaks to your situation, one that's a precedent, like in a court where a precedent is set, and you can present your case to the judge based on a precedent, a decision that's been formally made, that would be in your favor. That's called a precedent. And you search your Bible, and you find a place in God's Word where he has granted a similar promise. You can hold on to that. You can hold on to that. And you, of course, need to understand what the will of God is. See, Abraham was told what God's, it was very plain. It was his specific will. There's the specific will of God, and there's the special will. His specific will is the things that we know that we ought to do. We know we ought to witness. We know we ought to pray. We know we ought to tithe. We know we ought to go to church. We know we ought to love our neighbor. There's certain things that's the specific will of God that we know what we ought to do. But then there's the special will of God, things that He'll call you to be a deacon. He'll call you to be a preacher. He'll call you to be a Sunday school teacher. He'll call you to a certain ministry, to be a missionary, to be a big brother to a child, a big sister to a child. God has a special will. I believe He has that for everybody. And it's up to us, because God gives gifts to His people. Everybody has a gift. And in finding out what your gift is will help to determine what the special will is in your life from God. So Abraham knew all along, because God had said it over and over, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. It was repeated to him. And now the moment comes. You know, he said about a year ago, before chapter 21, he told Sarah, about this time next year, according to the time of life, you're going to have a child. Remember, she laughed in the tent. She laughed in the tent. I don't believe she laughed mockingly. But just, you know, think about their age. She was like 89 years old. He was 99 years old at the time when she laughed. You know, you think about in realistic terms. Now, see, God doesn't always deal in realistic terms. He deals based on faith. If He always dealt in realistic terms, there'd be no miracles. I believe there's miracles today. I don't believe you conjure them up. I don't believe you can make God do anything. You can't make Him do anything. But I believe that God works miracles today according to our faith. James chapter 5, the prayer of faith will save the sick. The thing, here's what I think. And this is me, this is you, this is everybody. I'm just be honest with you. The reason we don't see the miracles in our lives today, I believe it's because of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For instance, now let me ask you, there's always exceptions, but think about it. This is Sunday morning. Last week, how many times did you read your Bible through the week? How many times did you read your Bible through the week? Just think about that now. The only way for your faith to grow, somebody needs this today, maybe me, because I'm a little bit off task here, but let's go with it. The only way for our faith to grow is to read and study the Bible. And to say that, you know, well, Brother Miles, you don't know everything that I've got going on. Well, no, I don't. But I know I'm busy too. I have a job, have a church, have a wife, have some farm animals, have some grandchildren, have some children. Have friends. There's always have interests, have hobbies, you know, have desires. But God, you don't insert God. You can't insert Him like a as needed. They don't work that way. They won't ever work that way. See, God demands first place. He means to be honored and glorified. And I'll give you an example. I'm preaching through Revelation. I hadn't the last two Sundays. We had Victory Sunday last Sunday, and I preached before that a message in preparation for this past Sunday. But anyway, it was preaching through Revelation. And so the other day, I read completely through the book. Now, the Bible, it makes a promise. Blessed is he that reads and hears the prophecy of this book right there in chapter 1, chapter 2. It gives a promise that you'll be blessed. Promise. That's what it says. If you just read it, you'll have a blessing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I knew that. I've preached that. I knew it. But I wasn't thinking about it. But and here's the honest truth. Later on in the week, somebody, in essence, gave me an amount of money. Just unexpected. Gave me a certain amount of money. Me and Kathy call it our mad money. We have a little lockbox. We save our money. You know, this, that, and the other kind of stuff. You know, just a lot of fun kind of stuff. This money goes in the box. That money goes in the box. Kind of a game we play. And, you know, it still didn't dawn on me. See, we miss blessings because we just don't take God at His word. Well, I knew this. Now, I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. I'm just telling you like it is now. I knew this. not from anybody up here, from a total stranger. Somebody through my work. His son and grandkids come into the store. He called me up, said, Brother Miles, he didn't call me Brother Miles. He said, Miles, I got something for you. And so, long story short, wound up with a sum of money. And he wasn't going to have it. I mean, he's like, I want to do this. I said, well, okay. I mean, thank you. Now, I hadn't thought about God. Now, this didn't click with me. Now, I'm a slow burner. The next day, I believe, or might have even been a couple of days later, on the way to work, it was like the Lord said, you know, I didn't hear no voice, but it's like the Lord put it in my heart, you know, I gave you that money. And then I told Kathy, I said, you know what? I said, you know that money the other day? She said, yeah. I said, you know, I was thinking, it just kind of dawned on me that, you know, the Bible says you read the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, I hadn't even planned on telling you this, but I'm going to read that verse. Let me find it right here. Revelation chapter 1, I believe it is. It's, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein for the times of the end. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and heareth, and keep those things which are written therein. And I told Kathy on the way to work. Now Kathy's not a slow burner. She's a fast burner. She picks up on things real good. And I said, like a day later, a dollar short, I said, you know what? I said, you know, I read the Revelation the other day completely through. And I said, you know, it makes a promise in there. She said, I'd already thought about that. Here I am, the preacher. She said, I've already thought about that. I said, good gracious. You know, it was just a... Now, you say, well, Brother Miles, that's a coincidence. Well, you can believe that if you want to. Oh, you can believe that if you want to, you know, doubting whoever. Whatever, doubting Thomas, doubting Sue, doubting John, whatever. You can believe that if you want to. But see, we need to give God the glory for things like that. That's where that come from. And evidently somebody need to hear it because it was inserted into this and has really nothing to do with what I'm speaking on. But it's awesome, y'all. I mean, it's really God. Well, I guess it does. God keeps his promises. God promised Abraham alone. And see, in the joy, Abraham missed some joy because he told some lies and, you know, he kind of doubted God. But then he stood up, he talked to God about mercy on Lot being in Sodom. And, you know, he was handpicked by God. He from his loins came the Hebrew people. He's of the lineage of Eber, E-B-E-R, the father of the Hebrew race. And, you know, we put him out there as an important figure in the Bible, and he is. And he is. But you are important. You are important. And God hears you. God hears you. God will honor his promises for you. Now, he's fixing to honor a major promise, and he's been telling them all along. Now, what's going to make it so fantastic is all this waiting. Here he is now. He's 100 years old, and she's 90. I don't have to, let me see how to put this. I don't have to explain to you or even allude to you the functions of anatomy. Come on, somebody. I mean, look, this dude's 100 years old. She's 90. And that, you know, she thought that it was funny that she was going to have a child her in her old age, that she was going to bear her husband a child in her old age. Now, look at verse 21. This does fit. This goes, that's not going to cost you a dime. That wasn't even in my notes. Verse chapter 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, as he had promised, as he had said. What God says, you can bank on, people. You say, well, Brother Miles, what does he say? Open your Bible. Your Bible ought to be thumbed. It ought to have notes in it. It ought to have underlines in it. It ought to have highlights in it. It ought to be well-worn. A Bible that's worn out usually belongs to some, or a Bible that's fallen apart usually belongs to somebody who ain't. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. He opened her womb. He gave her body life. I believe she was 90 years old. I don't believe that that particular night that she was this ravishing beauty and Abraham was this young, dashing man. I believe they were Abraham and Sarah. I believe when he sat down that night, maybe his knees hurt or his feet hurt. You know, I mean, see, God acts in the normal courses of our life. And the first thing it says, God keeps his promise. And then it says, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. See there, God's going to get that in. It's not just that Abraham had a son. It says in his old age. It's like God saying, I told you. I told you. It makes God happy when we give him glory for, hadn't even looked at my time, for a promise that comes to fruition in our life. I believe it makes him smile. I believe it tickles him. You say, Brother Miles, no, listen. If you've got God so high up, that he is so out there in the heavens that you can't talk to him and you can't come. Abraham reasoned with him. Abraham reasoned with him respectfully, but he reasoned with him. Isaiah said, come now, let us reason. Or God said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Job, one of my favorite passages, and I bet I can't quote it. It's something like this. It says, Job said, if I knew where to find him, I'd go even unto his seat. And he said, I would make my arguments there. I'd make my arguments there. And he said, would he reject me? This is not a good quote. Would he turn me away? Would he reject me? He said, no, he'd strengthen me. Man, that's something to think that you can talk to God. Have you talked to God recently? Other than now and lay me down to sleep, Lord bless the gift, bless the giver. God is good, God is great. Bless the preacher and that he'd speak to us today. But if you talk to him on the level of God, you've been so merciful to me and I just want you to know that I love you. I don't deserve these mercies. You've kept my family. You've watched over me. You may be going through the darkest hour of your life. You may be going through the darkest hour of your life. That's when God will be the most real to you. He'll breathe across your heart with assurance and with peace that you can't explain. I know this. I know this personally. In one of the darkest hours of my life and one of the loneliest hours of my life, God did a work in my heart. And I'm not special. It's not that at all. Here's what it was. I was in a place where God was all I had. Come on, somebody. It's a shame that we got to get there into a place where God's all we got before we can understand who God is. You know, don't do that. Don't get in the place. Don't find yourself in a place to where you know, God's all you got. Nothing else has helped. The doctor ain't helped. Friends hadn't helped. Finances hadn't helped. I mean, there's nothing else to drain. There's nothing else to read. There's nothing else to look at. There's no more advice. Now I'm going to turn to God. Don't do that. Don't do that. God revels when we put him first, above doctors, above finances, above everything else. When we step out on faith, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I may crash and burn, but I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do the very best I can. I'm going to hang on to you, and I ain't going to let you go. Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God has spoken to him. Now, see, God has a timetable. Ain't no way I'm going to make it through all this. God has a timetable. God has timing. Now, you can say, you can explain that however you want to explain it, that God's lining this up or he's lining that up or he's getting this ready or he's getting that ready or whatever. I have no way of knowing that, but this is what I do know. You can look in your Bible and you can see instances where God worked, and he always works on a timetable. Ladies, one of our dear ladies at church, I don't know if she's listening this morning, but she sang Sunday, four days late, he's right on time. You remember when he's 4 days late, he's right on time? God has a reason. Now, we can look at that story and know the reason, but we don't always know the reason why. And it may even appear that God hadn't showed up, but he has. He has. And we may not ever understand it till we get to heaven, but we will one day. Don't y'all love the Lord? Come on, people. Don't y'all love the Lord this morning? You know, this is right before Sunday school. I hope you're going to church today. And I hope you, when you walk into that church, wherever it is that you go to church, that you walk in ready to worship God. We had a lady, we didn't have homecoming last Sunday, but we had a kind of a private homecoming. And we all did the music. I did the preaching. We didn't have any outside singers, outside preacher, anything like that. And we had the best time. I mean, we had kids to sing. We had teenagers to sing. And most of the time, there wasn't a dry eye in the church. People stood up and testified. It was a blessed time. And sometimes God has to get us to a place to where he can just get us by ourselves. By ourselves. When you go into church today, go in there ready to worship. Go in there ready to praise the Lord. Go in there, say, Lord, do you want me to say something today? Do you want me to give a testimony today? See, listen, God, she bare Abraham a son in his old age in God's timing. Let's go on. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him. Isn't it funny how God repeats stuff? He repeats stuff in the Bible. I mean, he's done said it about 10 times right here in these two or three verses. Why does he do that? Did you know it takes a lot of time? It's a known fact. It takes 8 times for something to sink into our brain. I don't care how big your brain is. It takes 8 times of repetition, hearing it 8 times before it clicks. Isn't that something? All right. And who would better know than God? And Abraham called the name of his son, verse 4, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days, as God had commanded him, being obedient. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. I wonder what he thought. I heard one preacher say one time, and I've never forgotten this, and I've tried to repeat it, and I can't never say it like he says it. But he said, when the night that Isaac was conceived, that spark flew in that tent from Dan to Beersheba. And that's amazing, ain't it? That's amazing. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe it was, I believe Abraham loved Sarah. But I don't need to go deep into this, but you understand what I'm saying. Come on now, listen to me. I believe Abraham loved Sarah and Sarah loved Abraham, and God caused a spark. Let me ask you something right now. Y'all got some spark? Listen to me now. You got some spark. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Man, there's so much junk out there in that world on TV right now. It'll put your spark out, people. Things that you have to see where you work and things that you have to hear. You got some spark in your home. Somebody needs that this morning. You got some spark. Rekindle that spark. Listen, this ought to be encouraging. He was 100 and she was 90. And listen, I don't believe that God intervened in such a way that there was no feeling, no emotion. I believe that it was intense and that Sarah loved Abraham and Abraham loved Sarah. And this particular day or this particular time when Isaac was born, can you imagine what Sarah was thinking? Can you imagine what Sarah was thinking as she began to develop, as she began to be with child? Her stomach began to grow. What do you think she thought? What do you think Abraham sitting over there by the fire and looking at her? And seeing that there's a change in her, seeing there's a glow in her face. God will put a glow in your face. God will put a glow in your life. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care. When we're obedient to God and we love him and we give ourselves over to him, God will perform miracles in our life. He'll bring things into being that you just thought would be impossible. Abraham looked over and saw her. And she sparkled. There's nothing more beautiful than a woman that's with child. I mean, God gives them a glow. Reckon what they thought. And then all of a sudden, you know, here at the end of 9 months, Sarah, I'm all over the place with this today. Sarah begins to have birth pains. And then she has this child. Abraham's there. He ain't outside the tent walking around smoking a cigarette. Abraham's right there. Abraham's right there. That man's 100 years old. Here's his 90-year-old beloved wife, and she gives birth to a beautiful, bouncing baby boy, Isaac, the son of laughter. And he picks him up for the first time, and he brings him over, and he lays her on his wife's breast. And God is all in that room. that miracle has happened. And it said, see, how do you know that, Brother Miles? And the Lord did to Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him. The word born used there several times. Whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Isaac. And boy, Abraham's faith grew. His foundation got stronger. He visibly looking at this baby boy, and he circumcised him 8 years when he was 8 years old, just like God had told him to do. Sarah said, God has made me to laugh so that all that will hear will laugh with me. Can you imagine how many times she's told that story? Well, I was in the tent door, and I laughed. And God said, you laughed. And I said, no, I didn't laugh. And he said, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And y'all know what? Look, there he is. Look at him out there playing. That's my boy. That's Isaac. He's from God. And I laughed. And then the people are going to laugh with her. These are folk. These are folk right here. These are their Bible characters. They're Bible people. They're in heaven right now. They're real people. But you know what? They're people just like you. And the God of heaven loves you just like he loves them. And the God of heaven will answer your prayers just like he answered their prayers. God of heaven will move and walk in your life. He'll restore you. I don't care how far you've been down, how far back you've been. If you repent and come back to Jesus, he will restore you. How you know, Brother Miles? I just know. I just know. And he said, and she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children such? For I have borne him a son in his old age, 90 years old. Who would have thought it? Who would have took that bet? Who would have said, yep, I believe it? Everybody would have said, no, nah, I don't know. You know, listen, let's think realistically about this, Sarah. I mean, you know, you're not the spring chicken that you used to be. And who would have said it? She said. And, you know, she nursed her son. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So when he was weaned, he made this great feast. Man, it was a wonderful time. People were talking. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. I mean, and they were saying that, and I know they were saying that God had brought this on. God was responsible for this. God answered. God made his promise good. Now, look in verse 9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had made born unto Abraham, mocking. So at this feast, Ishmael evidently was yan against Isaac or something like that, making faces or picking on him or some sort. I don't know. And wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. So Sarah. Now see, Sarah, it was her idea to for Abraham to go into Hagar to begin with. She tried to overstep God's promise, and that won't ever work. You see, there's been problems all along. There's been problems all along. This is the Arab people. It's just what's developed out. He had 12 sons later on. And so she's protected. Now she believes. Now she sees. Now, you know, she's got Isaac. She ain't fixing to share any inheritance with Isaac's inheritance with Ishmael. And this thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. He loved Ishmael too. He loved him too. Abraham knew that Isaac was the promised son. He knew that. But he loved Ishmael too. You know, I believe Abraham was a tender-hearted man. I believe he had a side of him that the king of Sodom didn't want to see. And those people that captured Lot and all them, I don't believe they want to see this side of Abraham. And God said unto Abraham, let not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. I don't know if there was some skeptic. I don't know what it was about Abraham there, but God said, don't worry. Now, my time is just about gone. Y'all, listen, I will see you next week. No, wait a minute. I got a little bit more to go. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong number. I get right down to the end every time. And so, but anyway, God said, don't worry. He said, Isaac is the call one. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. This was how dedicated he was. He got up early, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. my time is almost gone. Listen, I will see y'all next week, okay? We'll pick it up right here. I love y'all. God bless you in Jesus' name.